This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thanks for being with us today. I'd just like to talk about what people perceive to be their input reality. What they believe is coming into them as far as factual information. What they believe is their source of knowledge and information. Many of the people that are outspoken actually are repeating things they've heard from different forms of media or associations. And the first thing that has to be done is you have to consider the authoritative nature, the authenticity of the information coming in. This is part of the human potential. We have mind and intelligence and working senses, and all these are meant for us to separate, let's say, the wheat from the chaff, as the phrase goes. But the intention is that we need to figure out what is really true and what is not. And that's why most everyone has the innate ability to tell when someone else is lying. Now, generally speaking, it's dulled down, and people don't think about that very much. But in general, you can get the vibe when someone's lying to you. You know, oh, that's not true. They say you can't do it after 5 o'clock, but I know many people do it after 5 o'clock. You know? And so you have to use your own intelligence. You have to use your own sense perception and your own sensitivities to discern whether or not the information you're getting is true or is false. Because we, as individuals, we are actually forming our understanding, our opinions, and making advancement in our conscious development by accumulation of truth. Generally speaking, we filter out the lies. We go, no, that's not true. I'm not going to repeat that to somebody. I'm not going to count on that. And so our life is actually built upon accumulation of bits of the truth. The children, they go to their parents, Mommy, why does this happen? What is that? What is that? What is this? What is that? If you've had an association with young children, their inquisitiveness is astonishing. And they're asking about thousands and thousands of different things in the material world, whether it be objects or actions. But they're inquisitive and they want to know what everything is and why everything is doing is what it is, or why it has the impact on us it has. And the parent has to be responsible. This is where responsible parenting takes root, in being honest to the child and telling them the answer that's truthful in terms that they can understand. Because what happens is the same question may come up again in 3, 4, 5 years when they have changed their development and the level of their inquiry is completely different. Much more in-depth question, but about the same subject. And it can happen again. And again, because some subjects are of such complexity that they deserve to be analyzed from multiple levels. And the parent's responsibility continues to answer at each juncture with the correct answer, meaning truthful answer. And this is what we're supposed to be taught in schools. This is what we recognize to be a responsibility of a human being, is to respond truthfully. The judicial system is based on the fact that you promise to tell the truth. Now, they don't. Many, 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 many people are liars, and they'll lie on the stand. They'll lie in front of the judge or police or any other authority. They don't have any concern about that. The severe cases are called psychopaths. But in general, normal humans, they're taught and they believe and they are convicted within themselves to tell the truth. So now we take a look at our association. Who do you hang out with? Are they truth tellers or are they white liars, bridging into just all in all outliers? Because this is what we're facing. We're facing the opportunity to develop ourselves in consciousness relative to the association we keep. If you're associating with people that are of one variety, They're drug abusers, they're drunkards, you're going to end up involved with that. If you end up with other people that are pious, pure, benevolent, kind, caring, altruistic, you'll end up in that concept. So your association has an impact upon your discerning right from wrong. It has an impact upon your valuing different acts in life. Oh, what does it matter? Okay, hit him, whack him, kick him while he's down. Or, wait a minute, he's down, help him. So these are situations that you have to recognize are coming up constantly. They come up from when you're a small child. They come up right on through your life. They come up to the very end of your life. You're always being given an opportunity to do it right or do it wrong. And you have to understand, this is what education means. We're supposed to be trained, taught, to discern right from wrong and to value acting with right righteousness. It's supposed to be important to every man that he does what's right, that his word of honor is respected, that he keeps his word, that he tells the truth. He's a factual representation of the event. So all of these things are practical needs, practical positions that everyone in the material world is supposed to develop to be a responsible human being. So we have to be conscious of where is the information we're taking in coming from. Is it bona fide information? Is it true? We get that in the news. The news will bring up a story, but they'll make you think that this guy's the bad guy and this guy's the good guy. And yet in reality, it can be completely the opposite. In fact, nowadays in the news, it almost always is the other way around, because the news is not independent any longer. It's controlled by the governments around the world. It's controlled by wealthy people. It's controlled by the ulterior motives. Businesses, bankers, governments. And the intent is to keep you from understanding the criminal actions they're performing. They do things that are so criminal that they makes the news. But they want it to make the news in such a way that you don't actually understand that they've done a horrible thing. So they twist it. It's called spin. And we have that now to where I've seen websites that follow these things, and they show that some 25 to 35% of every news broadcast is spun. It isn't given to you so that you can see it in proper perspective and make your own decision. It's given to you with a spin so you come up to the position and interpretation they want you to. Now, this is, in a subtle level, this is called mind control. Because your mind takes in the facts and information, analyzes it, considers it, passes it on to your intelligence, and your intelligence goes, well, that's not good. But in actuality, it wasn't bad. Really, it wasn't at all. Some person defended his property, and they make him out to be a criminal. He's under attack. Someone is stealing or threatening or beating, injuring, and he defends himself. They make him out to be a criminal. Oh, he took a gun and shot somebody. Well, yeah. It's kill or be killed. Hello. So we have spin that has now infiltrated our sources of information. And we have monopoly. Where the information coming in through the news media is actually a monopoly. There's only two broadcast systems in the world. And they are owned by the same people, the wealthy bankers. And these two methods, these two paths of information, go all the way down in every country of the world to the media that you are able to access. Alternative media is very difficult to find. Alternative point of view, information. Well, what this is doing is it's bringing all of the people to the same consciousness. And this is very dangerous. Because when everybody's in the situation that they all think that the same things are true, and they're not, then there's going to be some sort of a tragedy. Because reality is undeniable. Reality is superior to speculation. And to speculate does not lead one to realization, to knowledge, to understanding. So they're spinning things to all of the people. And it's making it so that we don't actually understand things in proper perspective. And we have a society now that is starting to revolt, starting to complain that the information coming to it is not true. They're starting to back up on this one or two modes of media that's available to them. They recognize that it's not authoritative. So this is the point I'm making today. The authority level of information that you count on. Now, all these subjects I've just been covering here in the last few minutes, they are external subjects, meaning they're of the material world, they're temporary in nature, they're over issues and circumstances that none of us really have any control over. Anyway, it's not really affecting our lives directly. We can't do anything about it to correct it. So it's actually not within our scope to make an influence on it. However, this same perspective is vitally important when it comes to your actual level of spiritual realization. What is spiritual life? What is spiritual knowledge? Who is the authority? How do I recognize the authority and actually derive eternal benefit from my quest of spiritual realization? So these questions are very personal. These questions do impact your life, your growth, your mental health, your perspective of reality, your development of your consciousness, and subsequently your contribution to humanity. So it's important that you stop and say, well, wait a minute, what is the authenticity, the authority behind what I'm looking at, talking about? And we end up coming to an analytical issue because you kind of have to do your homework. Well, is this book real? Is this true? I mean, who wrote this? How many times did it get changed? Or did it get changed? Why would somebody change it? If it's true, why would you change it? Who has the right to dabble with such important information? And you have to do some homework, some research work to find out, well, what's really authoritative? And so this is part of the issue, because we have the situation where disinformation and adulteration of spiritual information has infiltrated into the organized religions. And so what is the result? Many people are now down on organized religion. Many people are going, no. Organized religion is just bogus. Oh, this happens, that happens. They say this, they say that. They don't mean this, they don't do that. They don't follow their own rules, la, la, la. Off it goes. And everybody uses this reasoning to dismiss religion in general. There is no religion that matters. It's all hogwash. It's all voodoo. It's not really real. And this locks them out of having the opportunity of understanding real religion. Now, there is an obvious, it's true of everything in this material world, that there is a true and a false variety of everything. And religion is no exception. There are people who create their own, concoct something up. My religion is taking LSD. My religion is beating kids. My religion is pedophile. My religion is horrible things that they've concocted in their minds as being a worshipable consideration. But this is why we have to go back to the bona fide religions. And what does bona fide mean? It has authority. Well, authority from who? From the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is the source of religion because he's the object of religion. So he's the one who actually lays down, this is the methodology for offering worship and prayer, for offering devotion. This is the methodology I choose. See, it isn't up to us. The Lord is supreme, unlimited, infinitely potent, multiple energies, multiple potencies, multiple opulences. And we aren't. We are very small. We are very limited. We do not have any of these types of capacities. So our relationship to the Supreme Lord is subordinate. So when the Lord says, I want to be worshipped like this, who are we to say, oh, I choose a different way? You have to accept, okay, this is the way the Lord wants it. He's the omnipotent, omnipresent personality here, not me. Then, okay, what's the method you want me to use? And then that is the method we should adopt. Because if we adopt that, all good fortune comes to you because the Lord is satisfied. When the Lord is satisfied, he has unlimited potencies. He can see to anything you require. So this is a methodology where we are the followers, we are the subordinates, and the Lord is the predominating personality. So when the Lord says, I want worship in this way, it isn't up to us to alter it. And when the Lord says, here is the scriptural information that I want you to understand, again, it isn't up to us to alter it, nor criticize, nor whatever. It's only for us to adopt. Because there's such a gulf of difference between the Lord's potencies and abilities and ours. So we're not actually in the position where we should be challenging or we should be establishing religious principle. We should not be deciding, this is the way I'm going to worship. This is the way I'm going to become realized. This is the way I'm going to practice religion. This is bogus. It'll lead nowhere. So what we have is we have to look at what are the available authorized methodologies of understanding, worshiping, and pleasing the Lord. And we find, once we start doing that, we find that there's always a question as to, has this been altered? Because certain things don't quite stack up many times. And so we go, well, wait a minute, I can't understand why the Lord would want this, and then he says that, or he says that, and then this too? It's conflicting. And this is one of the problems we are facing in this age in our lives. That there are 16 different versions of each of the major religions. There's how many Christianities, there's how many Hinduisms, there's how many Islamic beliefs. There are so many. There's extremists. There's pacifists. There's all right. So many. It goes on. So many. And they have interpreted this or that or the other thing. They've changed this or that or the other thing. They've omitted this or that or the other thing. And what does it do? It makes people question the authenticity. So for there to be a religious perspective that's going to be worthy of one committing his life and soul to, it has to be free of that. It has to be free of the duality of this material world. It has to be free of interpretation. It has to be consistent in the information it provides. And it has to be authoritatively presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic knowledge is that type of knowledge. The Vedic knowledge is written and produced by an incarnation of the Lord, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, Devapayana Vyāsa. And he specifically incarnated such that it was written down the way he wanted it, unadulterated. Similarly, the Vedic knowledge has been protected, maintained, since that time, to this moment, by a chain of spiritual masters. Master to disciple, master to disciple, master to disciple, to today, so that the information does not get adulterated. And it's been produced in books under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master in this disciplic line, and it's not allowed to be changed. I mean, typos, sure, corrections, but no alteration of the terms, the words, the meanings, the intent. It's not allowed because you deserve to have a right to ask any question and get the answer in proper perspective to consider for yourself. Love of God is a voluntary thing. It is not a demand. God is not saying you must love me. Absolutely not. He's saying here is the methodology, here is the point of view, here is the method, the process that is beneficial to you. You learn it, you study it, you understand it, you consider it, then you do what you want. You can accept God, you can avoid God. You can denounce God. It doesn't change him. It's just up to you what your position is and what your situation is. So this is an important side of things. That you look to that scriptural information that is unadulterated, that is not subject to interpretation, that is not subject to alteration, that has not been lost and refound, that has not gone astray. No. You're looking for that information that you can count on, the information that is unadulterated, the information that emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, the information that provides you a practical, common sense methodology to raise yourself to the highest standard. In this age, the highest standard is love of God by devotional service. This is the topmost understanding. Ecstatic love of God, whereby one becomes jubilant in love. And this method has to include something to cleanse the illusions and mistakes and errors and faults and sins, etc., that have accumulated upon every single one of us in this contaminated environment we live in. Because everybody's lying. And you never know if you pick one up or you don't. It can happen. It happens to everybody. We all try to filter the lies, so we are factually representing ourselves and the information we have. But still, these misconceptions and lies sneak in. And so there needs to be a method of cleansing oneself and qualifying oneself for developing and transmitting love of God, experiencing it. And that method is there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The mantra is specifically empowered by the Lord himself in his incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that incarnation, he put all of his potencies in the transcendental mantra, such that the potencies are equivalent to his own potency. The Lord enters into the holy name. His potency is in the holy name. And by chanting this holy name, by repetitively chanting this holy name, it purifies the senses and the mind and the intelligence from all the dirty things accumulated because of association in the environment we're in. And this method becomes a direct path to awakening. And the awakening continues when one associates with spiritual people, devotees of the Lord. And when one reads the Vedic knowledge, when he gets the opportunity to ask all of his heartfelt questions and concerns. And he gets answers that are pure, protected, unadulterated responses that have been coming down the line of spiritual masters specifically so that he gets the right information. And this is our situation here, now, today. We need honest information that is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is nominated as a practical methodology that opens the door and gives the opportunity for every one of us to become our greatest self. Not what we are told by information in a media-controlled world, but where we come to understand the absolute relationship between you and I as living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes. From that perspective of life, that is secure. And this is the methodology that is recommended, protected, and delivered to you in the Vedic wisdom. Simply read the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and learn exactly what the great saints and sages have been protecting for your benefit.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.